Okay, devotee. And he knew exactly what was in the heart of the devotee, what was necessary. As the verse is there in Gita, Vedaham Samaditani Vrtamanani Jarjuna, the mission Ishabhutani Mantaveda Nakashana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, in the present, and it will happen in the future. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Now, because of this truth that only Krishna knows, and we don't know, we can conjecture sometimes, but that is just a conjecture on our part. Our conjecture becomes real when we become a pure devotee. When you actually become a Mahabhagavata, by serving the Mahabhagavatas to that extent, then you'll know. But that only when you actually get that potency, only when you've actually attained the platform of Ashakti. When you know conclusively your relationship with Krishna, then at that time you know Krishna, and you know yourself, and you know other things. So Krishna will reveal, like when Prabhupada was saying about when a New York Times reporter asked him in 1976, "Do you know everything? Are you omniscient?" And he said, "No, spiritual master never claims to be omniscient." He said, "But I know whatever Krishna wants me to know about my disciple." Prabhupada was very, very perceptive in many things. Put his finger on the pulse in many, many regards. He also said about sometimes journalists would try to paint him into a corner by saying something embarrassing, try to inspire him to say something. Prabhupada said, "They can't paint me into a corner. I'm an old Calcutta boy. I know these guys. I know these fellows. I'm an old Calcutta boy. They can't paint me into a corner." Prabhupada was very smart about it. But Prabhupada did say that, see, everything depends on Krishna. And Krishna knows everything. And if he desires it, then his devotee can also know whatever is needed to know at that particular time, place, and circumstance. Therefore, the devotee always goes to Krishna. Like I say, I do that sometimes. Even though a devotee following Raghunath Das Goswami stated, he says at the end of his Dasakam, his Govardhana Vasa Prakana Dasakam, Nirupani Kudanena, Sri Sachinandanena, Tvai Kapata Sadaapi, Tvat Priya Narapitosmi. Even though I'm a rascal, he says in his humility, I'm a cheater and a rascal, he says, Sadaapi, Tvat Priya Narapitosmi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was very dear to you, has offered you to me. He said, offered me to you. Nirupari Gurunena Sri Sati Nandanena. Tvai Kapata Tvai unto you. Kapata Shada Api. Even though he has offered Tvai unto you. Kapata Shato Api. Has offered me to you, even though I'm a cheater and a rascal. Twice Priya Narbika. Is who is your dear one, Arbitoasmi, has offered me. He said, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very dear to you, and he therefore, being merciful, he has offered me to you, even though I'm a cheater and a rascal. Iti, thus, kalo, indeed, mama yogya, yogyata mama vrindan. Please don't consider whether I'm qualified or I'm not qualified. Nijan vitani vasam dehi govardhana tam. Please give me shelter, residence near you. So this is the affection that we should have for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should understand this by spiritual master, by the Guru Parampara. We have given this. He's offered us, even though we're not qualified. Out of His causeless mercy, He's picked us up and offered us to the Lord. To Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
They've offered us to Radha Vallabha. They've offered us to Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And as long as we sincerely serve them, chant the holy name, remain with the devotees, then our life will become successful beyond our expectation. Just like Sudama understood it very carefully. I'm a very poor person. I've always been like that. I've never had any opulence in my life. And I just had a great good fortune. I happened to have friendship with Krishna. We were together in the same school. We used to talk to each other. We have some friendship. On the basis of that friendship, I went to go and see him. Now that he's the Dwarkadisha, he's the Lord of Dwarka, the head of the Dasaras and the Yadus and like that. So I went to see him. And he was so kind. And I didn't say a word to him what was on my mind. And when he came to understand that I was seeking something from him. See, he was so humble. That Brahmin was so humble. There was no doubt in my mind that Krishna asked him, "So, my dear Brahmin, what have you come for? Anything I can do for you?" But he was so humble. He was so humble. He was thinking, "Oh, why I should bother him with my difficulty? Why I should bother him? It's obvious that he was poor. He dressed very poorly. Obvious that he was very skinny. He was not well fed. But he was effulgent because of his brahminical life." They liked it. Brahmins were taught to like poverty, simple living, you know. They keep their life simple. They don't have to be under anybody's thumb. They have freedom for their sadhana. They don't have to flatter anybody. Like that. So they didn't want to flatter kings. His wife said, "Oh, you should go, you should ask something. You know, we're struggling, we should leave something. Something small we should get." So on behalf of his wife, he went. But he didn't say anything. When he finally got there, he didn't say anything. His humility, he was so happy to see Krishna after a long time. And he didn't say anything. That was due to his humility. Yet Krishna understood what was needed in his heart. So it's interesting. You may reveal your mind and confidence to the Lord. It's part of service to reveal your mind and confidence to the deity. But even if you don't, he knows what's going on. He knows everything. The nature of accepting the Lord's shelter is this, that whenever a devotee gets perplexed, then you can turn to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's the friend of everyone. And he knows everything. He's transcendental and gone beyond the darkness of this material existence. Kavim, he's the poet. Purana, he's the oldest. Amshashatam, and he's the controller of everything. Everything is controlled by him. Anur, and he's smaller than the smallest. He's smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. And he's everywhere, situated everywhere. And he's extremely friendly and extremely accessible. So that's the nature of the best. He's actually the best friend. Surina Sarvabhutana. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. We actually should keep our relationship with Krishna by the holy name, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the exemplaries, the other expansions of the holy name, which are Krishna's glories. Krishna's glories, Krishna's names, Krishna's stotras. And we should chant that with love for their pleasure, for the Lord's pleasure. And whenever you get into any difficulty or any anxiety, because we're conditioned, we don't know, we're in this material world, we don't know what will happen, then you just look to them. And Krishna always helps the devotee to cross over everything. He promises that in Gita. The Chaitasa Sarva Gurgani Mata Prasada Tadasisi Atapsetvam Ahamkara Na Shoshasi Vinakshasi. That if you will depend upon me, you can cross over all material obstacles by my grace. But if you don't, listening to your own false ego, you'll be finished. So we see that in our movement. Many devotees come and go. They come, they stay for some time, they do some service, and they leave. But almost every single one of them, if you look at the underlying principle, they didn't have the guts to open their mind in confidence when they needed to. That's the underlining principle. ABC to GBC. If they're having difficulty, they have to have a close friend to reveal their mind in confidence. And if they have a close friend who helps them to understand Krishna's desire at that time, then they can start to cross. Between Krishna's mercy and a devotee's mercy, anybody with any difficulty can cross, provided you take shelter again of the process. So something Maya is in such a way that stops us from, either due to embarrassment or to pride. And then Shloka, Krishna says to Arjuna, but if you by your ahankara, by your false ego, if you don't listen to me, then you'll be finished. Nashroshasi vinashasi. Yana ahankara mashatya. Na yotsya. I've been taking shelter of that. Na yotsya dimanyase. Then you're not fighting. Mithyasami vasayase. And you're under an untrue conception of life. Prakriti svamniyokshati. But by your nature, you're going to do it anyway. You're going to engage by your nature to do things anyway. But that shloka before, that Chaitasya Sarva Durgani Mata Prasada Terasisi, if you will take shelter to me under any difficulties, by my grace you'll be finished. So Krishna likes it when a devotee takes shelter of him when they're in trouble. But of course that's not the only thing that we should do. It doesn't mean that only when we're in trouble we call on Krishna. Rest of time, no. No, that's not what it is. Sometimes he chastises us that way. Hare Baba, why are you calling us? You're calling us only when you want us to help you find something. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that when he said that. But that's a chastisement. That no, we should always think of Krishna all the time, happy and distressed. And if we do so, then Krishna's presence is there. Naturally, when we're in trouble, we look to Krishna. And that's nice, that Krishna gives us shelter when we're in trouble. But when we're not in trouble, we should look to Krishna also. But the funny thing is that Krishna always gives shelter to his devotees, who look toward him very carefully. Looking toward him means in more ways than one, because it mentions about that to the gopis, sravanam, by hearing about us, darshanam, by looking at our transcendental form, dhyana, and meditating on that. And my bhavon kirtana, and following my chanting of my moods, and nata tasa vikarsena, and not by physical proximity. Pratyatata togriyam, therefore go back to your house. So it's not by physical proximity only, but the physical proximity is charming. But we must take shelter of Krishna in all respects, by his name, by his glories, by his devotees, by his instructions. In this way we feel Krishna in many, many ways and many forms. And in this way, Sudama, he knew that if I just simply take shelter of Krishna, why do I need to bother him? Why should I need to reveal my mind in that sense? He knows everything. I'll just simply take shelter. Leave it up to him. As a humble Brahmana, he didn't say anything to Krishna. He didn't ask him for any material benediction. He was just happy to be there. My wife pushed me. Alright, I went to go see Krishna and I'm happy to have come. And that was all. That was totally all. That's all he was doing. He was totally happy. He was totally happy at it. But Krishna knew what he needed. And he knew what his wife needed. Krishna is very personal. And Rukmini Devi is very personal. Lord's consort. And therefore, they brought the opulence of Dwaraka, the opulence of Vaikuntha, into Sudama's life. completely transformed everything. Because the Lord knew that, Lord and his consort knew that he will never misuse anything. His whole life he's been in poverty. But if we give him everything now, he will never misuse it. So that was the understanding. It says, after all, my dear friend Krishna, the most exalted of desires and the enjoyer of unlimited wealth, notice that I secretly intended to beg from him. Thus, even though he said nothing about it when I stood before him, he actually bestowed upon me the most abundant riches. In this way, he acted just like a merciful rain cloud. Now, not only this, when I look at this shloka about Krishna being a merciful rain cloud, but everything in relation to the Supreme Lord is also the same way. Just like Tulsi Rani has also known that. Namato Losi Saravagye Purushottama Bhavave Pahimam Saravapape Pyo Saravasampata Pradhanike. That is very clear. Pundarik says in that shloka that, Tulsi Devi, you know everything. Because you are the dear one. You are the dear lover of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, please protect this lowly person from all their sinful life. Because you can bestow everything to your servant. Sarva-sampat-pradayake. You can give all opulences and everything to your servant. So, Rukmini Devi can do it. Tulsi Devi could do it. Lord Krishna can do it. We should always understand that the Lord and his consort are extremely compassionate, extremely knowledgeable, cognizant of everything, controllers of everything, and very accessible and very friendly also. The nature of the Lord and his consort is that they give themselves to their servants. No, nothing but them. Our criteria is that we don't look anywhere else. We don't look anywhere else. And therefore, they give themselves to their devotees. We don't look anywhere else and we try to love them. Beginning Namadi, beginning with the name, because that is the power in Kali Yuga. That is the Dharma in Kali Yuga. Mahaprabhu gave such great stress on the chanting. And his Parshadas did it all so wonderfully, this chanting. And what are we in comparison to them? We're simply like not even a candle, not even a firefly in comparison to our acharyas of 14, 15 generations ago. All of them coming down to our Gurudev are all powerful lights. And each lamp will say in their humility that is diminished in comparison to the previous lamp. We can't even consider ourselves to be a firefly in comparison. So their chanting and their bhajan is so wonderful and it inspires it. And Krishna was so kind that he gave himself to those devotees who knew nothing but them extraordinarily. So we have to follow in their footsteps by chanting the name, by remembering Krishna. Then Krishna will take all Krishna and his consorts will take all care of the devotees who know nothing but them. Purport, Krishna is Bhakti Bhoja, the unlimited enjoyer. He did not tell Sudama how he was going to fulfill his unspoken request. Because according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, he was thinking at the time. Vishwanath Chakravarti gives us a window on Krishna's thought at the time. My dear friend has given me these grains of rice, which are greater than all the treasures I own. Even though in his own house he has no such gift to bring me, he took the trouble of begging it from a neighbor. Sudama was so poor, he didn't even have rice in his own house. His wife had to borrow it from a neighbor. Vishwanath says, even though in his own house he had no such gift to bring to me, he took the trouble of begging it from his neighbor. Therefore, it is only proper that I give him something more valuable than all my possessions. But nothing is equal to or greater than what I possess. So all I can do is give him such meager things as the treasures of Indra, Brahma, or the demigods. End quote. Embarrassed at being unable to properly reciprocate his devotee's offering, Lord Krishna bestowed his favor on the Brahmin silently. The Lord acted just like a magnanimous rain cloud, which provides the necessities of life for everyone near and far, but feels ashamed that its rain is too insignificant a gift to give in return for the abundant offerings that farmers make to it. Out of shame, the cloud may wait until nighttime when the farmers are asleep before watering their fields. The chiefs of the Tisara clan, with whom Krishna is identified in this verse, were especially renowned for their generosity. That's why it says Krishna is the best of the Tisaras, because Krishna was most generous. However, Krishna did it very silently. He bestowed his gifts very silently. It's interesting how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that Brahmin was so poor that when he went to go to Krishna, he had to bring some gift, because you can't go empty-handed in Vedic culture. But his wife was so poor, she had no rice to give Krishna. And therefore, she had no rice to give Krishna. And therefore, they borrowed from a neighbor. That reminds me of a story that my god sister told me when I was I was taking prasadam in 1986 in her house with her husband. You know, and she became a master cook. But she told me the story that when she first got married, first as a devotee, she didn't know how to cook anything. She didn't learn anything. She learned it by falling at the feet of all the other ladies that she came across in her life. That's how she learned. She got trained in so many wonderful things, skills. She, due to her humility, she fell at the feet of so many wonderful people, and so many people taught her many wonderful things, and she became very expert. I was taking prasadam in their house. I was doing Chaitanya Charitamrita sets. This was 20 years ago, you know, when I had a lot more energy than I do now. That's for sure. And so I was doing Chaitanya Charitamrita sets, and I was taking prasadam in their house. I go, hey, I want a story. You know, when I'm eating, you know, I want to be entertained, you know. I want a story. So I wanted a story. So I said, hey, tell us about the old days, huh? Tell us about those days. So they were in Juhu when it first opened up, when Prabhupada had sent them in. Right after their marriage in Los Angeles, Prabhupada shipped them back. Prabhupada wanted her husband to do college preaching, which he did, because he's a very expert debater, very expert mind. Very expert words. Even now, to this day, many of the leaders in our movement will quake in their shoes if he has a debate with them. If they get on the wrong side of this guy is like really hot, and he's intense, and he's powerful. He is really a very good speaker. So Prabhupada wanted him to do that. He was in Bombay doing college programs. And his wife was helping out whatever way she could. You know, she was telling me old stories. She said, there was nothing for the devotees. I was supposed to be in charge of the kitchen. What is that? What is that, in charge of what? We didn't have anything in those days. You know, I would go across the street to the temple, to the shop, Kiran Dukan. And I would bake a kilo of rice from the shopkeeper. We'll buy it tomorrow. I'll give you the money for it tomorrow. I would get it on credit for the guy. You know, I didn't have any money. I would just, well, I'll give him tomorrow. Because I knew that I can't show my face unless I pay him up for that kilo of rice. I can't show my face to get another one or something. I had to do it, you know. I had to arrange it from the treasurer somewhere that day if we didn't have any stock. So I had to bake it in stock, so that I had something to cook for the devotees, to feed the devotees in the temple. He says, we were so poor. He said, Giriraj Swami would go down to Bombay to meet big businessmen to enroll them as life members. And he went down barefoot. He didn't even have money for shoes. He said, many times his dhoti had a hole in it because we had so many rats. They're called bandicoots in Bombay. They're this big, bigger than cats. You know. I was coming down in 1986, coming down the stairs from the Brahmachari Ashram where I was staying in one preaching center outside in the suburbs of Bombay. We started a little preaching center there. And the Brahmachari Ashram was on the fourth floor of another building. And we would run down the stairs to the ground floor, run across in the other building, run up the staircase to go to see the deities for Mangalarti. You know, and the devotee blew the conch shell and we're running to go to the Mangalarti in time. And there's plenty of rats there. They were after the rice merchants who had their shops in the galas and the below. And they were always trying to sneak underneath the shutters to go in and eat or whatever it was. And these big rats, bandicoots, they're huge. They're monsters. They're this big. And the tail is extra. They're bigger than the cat. And I saw, and usually they would be on the staircase door also. They were everywhere. They were on the staircase. We were going up to the temple staircase. And there would be these bandicoots on the staircase, right? And they'd see us dashing up the stairs. And they just want to get out of the way, you know? Because they're kind of shy, you know? They just want to eat and live, not like everybody, other jivas. So they would go to the side, you know? And sometimes they would practically dash across our feet, you know, to get away from us. And I saw one bandicoot. There was a cat that happened to be on the staircase too, right? So here you got a cat and you got a bandicoot, okay? Now, usually cats like mice, right? But not when the mouse is bigger than the cat. I saw the cat go against the wall like this. And the bandicoot was right next to him and the cat was like this, you know? And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, you know? And I was shocked to see that the cat, the bandicoot was bigger than the cat. The cat was definitely not going to do nothing to that fellow, you know? It was hilarious. And I used to hate it every single day. I used to see these scruffy, Bombay life and scruffy, huge, ugly, you know. Scruffy meant sometimes their coats would fall off, the coats of the rats would fall off, you know. And they'd have like scruffy head, you know, like the hair would be out of their head, you know, a couple of times, you know, whether they got hit or whether a dog tried to grab them or another, you know, whatever. Other rats were fighting with other rats, and I don't know how they became scruffy, but it was definitely looking horrible, you know. Again, that was horrible. And I used to get so, every single day, you had to see those scruffy guys running to see, and all you want is that my first thing my eyes should see is to see the beauty of the Supreme Personality of God. That's what you want. The first thing we lay our eyes on should be the beauty of the Lord's face. Really. Instead, I got to see these guys. You know, and it was so disappointing. But I remember one thing, that there was a story about Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji Maharaj that they came in the book, the itihas about him, that somebody had donated a bunch of green bananas to Bhaktisiddhanta. So they hung them up in the middle of his kuti to ripen, right? So, and he's in this kuti, you know, he's got his mud floor, and he's in this, his little grass hut, and some rat dug a hole from the outside, and dug a hole, and came in under the boundary, and inside the place, okay? And poked his nose above the dirt, you know? Now I'm looking around, okay, where's the food, right? Where's the food? He's looking around like this. And Bhaktisiddhanta spotted him. And he's got his Gopal deity with him, right? And he spotted him and he points, ha! There's a thief! And then he points to his Gopal, and there's a thief. Here's a thief and there's a thief. Both the thieves. Oh, you know. Both the thieves. Right? He's a thief and here's a thief. You know, like that. So, when I read that, then I became charmed. And from then on, whenever I saw that scruffy, ugly, horrible bandicoots, I would think, they're all thieves, and we're going to see the best thief. No. Like this, Taragra Ganyam, Purusham Namami, you know, I offer my respectful obeisances to the chief of the thieves, you know. There's a beautiful asticums. Chorasticum and Choragraganya Purushasticum. Both of them, both these asticums are really great for Janmashtami. I really think that really beautiful poetry about the best of the thieves, Krishna the best of the thieves, and what he does to his devotees. But he's a merciful rain cloud, but he's also a thief. And basically what he does is he steals the love of his devotees, however insignificant it is. In this case, Sudama's love was insignificant, but Krishna was thinking, the poor fellow, he brought this thing, you know, and his wife didn't even have it. She had to borrow it from a neighbor. They were that poor. Anyway, I will give him something, but we won't say anything about it. The Brahmin didn't press Krishna, and Krishna in his sweetness, He just silently gave him the benedictions he required. And it was actually his wife, Ramini Devi, who also assured him. He said, the Lord acted like a magnanimous rain cloud, provides the necessities of life for everyone, near and far, but feels ashamed that his rain is to be significant, to give in comparison. So it's like that whatever the devotee offers the Lord out of his kindness says, what a nice thing they brought, you know? Nice thing they brought. But actually, it's insignificant. But the Lord just takes it and magnifies it out of his causeless mercy. Putana, she came, the example was that she came taking the disguise of a nurse. It was just a disguise that she took to achieve her nefarious ends. But the Lord was so merciful that he made her a real nurse. Well, she came to me as a nurse anyway. Maybe we should give her something. And he gave her the position of being a nurse in the spiritual world. Far beyond what Putana could ever think of, could ever dream of, if after her death. Because she died feeding the Lord. Mm-hmm. She died at the last moment of her life. She died feeding the Lord, her breast milk. Therefore, she became a nurse. The same thing about her brother, Agha. Krishna came into his mouth, and he took him within, and he thought, I'll smother him in the fire of my belly. But he took him within, and Krishna puffed himself up big, and expanded himself, blocked the wind fight, the demon and killed it. So he was died contemplating Krishna who is within my body. And as a result, Shukadeva Goswami said that he attained the state of Sarvabhauma, a form similar to the Supreme Lord's. He attained that same mukti because he took the main form from the antar ahita, the Sanskrit says. Manomai, by the mind or otherwise. Bhagavatatta told me, Tim, the Supreme Lord bestows the best benediction. Anybody who, by the power of the mind or whatever, physically or whatever, takes this main form of Krishna within the mind, by the power of the mind or whatever, then Krishna bestows the best benediction. Because the Lord, it says there, is, say, even at the Atma Sukhanu Bhukti, he is always inclined to put his devotees in the ocean of happiness. Vyudhastamaya, and that ocean of happiness of Krishna Sangha, Krishna's association, Vyudhastamaya destroys the illusion. Of who? Yeah. Of them. Antarga too. Who think of Krishna within the heart? He can puna. What to speak of that guy? He can puna. He indeed. Kim. Who? you know, who not? That fellow again. He can puna. What to speak of a Goswara? What to speak of him? What a charming shloka in the Bhagavatam that Sukadev spoke, you know, describing Maharaj Pariksha. What? Maharaj Pariksha was like, what? He got Sarupya? How was that? You know, as everybody thought, the spirit soul of Agasura came out and stayed in the firmament in the air, and then in front of everybody it just entered into Krishna, in front of Krishna and the other coward boys that came out, astonishing, look at themselves, they realized that they had been, they tumbled out of his body, they realized that they had been revived by the merciful glance of Krishna. They came out and they saw this bright spark enter into Krishna's body. They thought, ah, oh, he is merged with Krishna, Sarupya, you know. Sayuja. Sayuja Mukti came once. But he goes, but Sukadev says, no, he didn't attain Sayuja, he attained Sarupya. What? He's a demon, you know, and he attained that form? How is that? Because at the time of his death, he was speaking with the form of Krishna within himself. So whether you're a yogi who thinks of Krishna within yourself, or a demon who tried to swallow Krishna up, you know, physically, and thought, Krishna is now within me, you know. They both got the same destination. They both got the same destination. It's astounding. So, what have we been given? The Brahman is just understanding it, that Krishna is so kind to his devotees, that he gives himself, and he gives extraordinary benedictions beyond what the devotee can see. Just like the devotees here are making garlands. They're making garlands for the neck of the Supreme Lord. And Sudama, the other Sudama, the florist in Mathura, simply by offering Krishna and Balarama nice garlands, then they got full liberation, power of the senses, all material facility and liberation at the end, just by offering a flower garland. And we do it every single day. We put those garlands on their lordship's necks. We don't even realize what we're going to get just by doing that very simple thing of offering some snack to the Lord, offering some arati to the Lord, offering some garland to the Lord, offering nama abhishekam, bathing him with his names, doing kirtan, following the order of the Lord by going out and doing our prasada distribution, our food distribution, our book distribution, whatever, nama prachara, telling people, come visit our Mahaprabhu Mandir, here's a card, come and visit us, you know. And chanting Hare Krishna on the kirtan, giving them prasad on the crossways or gopals and like that. And just doing whatever service you got to do. It's like, it's all beyond what we can ever dream, simply by engaging in this activity. Beyond what we can dream. That's the nature of the spiritual world. And it all becomes manifested by this process. And Sudama Brahman is realizing it. So, it mentions here that Krishna accepts very, very small thing and he magnifies it so much. So how wonderful is Krishna? So he simply, the Brahman understood it very carefully within his heart and his mind. And the same thing happened with Dhruva, any Vaishnava, in any particular. They think of Krishna, they understand Krishna's magnanimity, and therefore they ask for that benediction, like Dhruva said, Sarajarajanamaraya chodito dhruvom mahabhagavatam mahamati. What did he ask for? What was his desire in his heart? Harishchavibhraya chalatam smatirayaya. May my remembrance of Krishna never fade. Durate yam kama. That's the only way to cross this ocean of ignorance. So, it's the same thing with us. The only way to cross over the ignorance is to remember the Lord. Gao gao puna, gauranga raguna, karilo sharilo mon. Vasudeva Ghosh sings, again and again sing Lord Chaitanya's qualities. Keep your mind real simple. That's what this mandir, Mahaprabhu mandir, is about. And that's what life with devotees are about. If we just keep our friendships tight, keep our mind open. We have to have a friend. Be prepared to even, especially, especially when the mind is giving trouble or karma is giving trouble. Suppose nakshatra is trouble. There's so many obstacles that happen in a devotee's life. You know, we take our life and our chanting for granted, really. When we were young, when you're young, when you're 15, 20, 16 rounds, that's perfectly easy, you know, like that, right? You wait until you're 50, 55, and you see what kind of loops your body throws at you, you know? Then you have to think, hey, I finished my rounds. What kind of celebration should I do? You know? Hey, today I actually chanted double my rounds. I chanted 40 rounds. Wow, what kind of celebration should I have? You know? I actually got through the day's service without collapsing. Wow. And you know what? From what I heard from my other god brothers, you ain't seen nothing yet. I got, you know, some god brothers and god sisters that are pushing 70 like that. When I was telling them a few things, I go, they laughed and they said, "You're a puppy!" I said, "You ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't even begun to see what old age is all about and what the body will do. You become grateful, just chant." And then what about us? We're thinking, well, if I could just get 30 rounds done or 40 rounds done, that's far out. That was far out today. But then there are other devotees that are chanting 54, like Gauridasi at the age of 79. You know, does she complain about her old age? Probably not. She just absorbed the holy name. She made her best friend her beads, you know. She just... That is our standard. The Sudama Brahmana was extremely humble. His opulence was his smarana. His opulence was Krishna's remembrance. His opulence was his sadhana. And he didn't give it hoot of what he had in his pocket. And his wife was obviously so austere that she basically went along with her husband also. Except it was just sometimes just a little too much for her, because she thought, how can I serve my husband when I don't even have a speck of rice in the place? You know? I mean, come on. At least something we got to get from Krishna. You know, at least something. At least she had to beg from the neighbors some rice to put it in the satchel. Some poa, some flat rice from the neighbor, so that she could put it in a satchel and give it to her husband to give to Dwarkadish. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad said, and we didn't know that, to tell you frankly. I didn't know that. We always thought that, you know, his wife had had something and gave a little something. It was a very interesting. Everybody knows that Sudama Brahman offered something, a significant poa. We didn't know that his wife didn't even have it. It was the neighbor's poa. It wasn't even her own. She was that poor. There were stories in about the elders that Ramanujacharya had one disciple, household couple. They were so poor that when he went to see this Vaishnava couple, Ramanujacharya, he knocked on the door. The Lord, the devotee's wife spoke, but she wouldn't open the door. So he understood that she's so poor she didn't even have cloth to cover herself up. So he took his puttariya, his top cloth off, and gave it to that devotee, so she could wrap herself up with that cloth and open the door and greet her spiritual master. we can't even think what poverty was like some days, you know, what poverty is like some days. But this is what, obviously, the poverty of Sudama was really extraordinary poverty. And yet it didn't stop his brahminical mind, because all this opulence and everything that's flashing through his eyes, he didn't become bewildered by any of it. He was just trying to understand, how has it happened? In his mind is struck, how did it happen? You know, he's just not, wow, look at all this stuff. You know, he's just like, you know, let's try to extrapolate. What would happen if it happened to us? Okay? You just, you know, one day you just walk and you return to your flat that's down the street, you know, and all of a sudden it becomes You know, like, fancier than any opulent hotel or anything like that, you know. And you got a butler in the front, and they ring you in, and they bring you in, and whole thing like that, you know, like any of the opulent set of things. What would happen to us? You know, we would also become astonished. Hey, what's going on? You know. We would also become astonished, of course. But could, you know, if any of us would get enamored by these things? So, nothing should enamor us. What we see in the material world, it's not that the toys and everything else should stop us from remembering the Lord. If the Lord will not give us more, it's because we have no love for Him so deep. The Siddhama had such deep love that his material opulence and his beauty and everything changed. His youthful form, his wife's youthful form changed over by Krishna's mercy. Nothing could swear his mind from Lord Krishna. And we know it. In the material world now, what is our weakness? You know, we can get distracted so easily. It doesn't take much to distract us. Therefore, this goes to show us how much he had, what was his sadhana, that he was not swayed by any of the opulence. Sudama. Because his sadhana was his opulence. See, the thing about it is that with poverty-stricken Brahmins, you can do everything in manasik seva. If you don't have the external opulence, you can offer Krishna manasik seva and you can get all the fruits of external worship by offering manasik seva. This was the Brahmins did. They didn't care if they were opulent or not. They could do, as long as they had enough energy in their bones to offer manasik seva, that was sufficient for them. Therefore, they didn't complain. What they had, their opulence was the power of their mind, that they offered Krishna their mind very powerfully. So whether you had it in your pocket or not, it didn't matter. But Krishna doesn't like his devotees in such conditions. Krishna is bhaktavatsala, so he usually arranges it like he did for Sudama. But Sudama wasn't attached to it. Sudama was very attached to his manasik seva. That we should all remember. Hare Krishna. Questions now? Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhuji.
Maharaj, you mentioned revealing one's mind in confidence to friends within the movement. Were you thinking more in terms of devotees more advanced than you or devotees on the equal level?
Of course, generally once, if you want to reveal your mind and confidence, generally you go to a superior. But if they're not there, you go to your peer. And if they're not there, if you're really a straightforward, honest devotee, you should go ahead and reveal your mind to a junior who you have a subordinate, who you have affiliation with. You may have to package it carefully if you reveal your mind to a junior. The point is, you should be not afraid to reveal your mind in confidence. It's for, if you understand it, it's for our benefit. At least to do so to the Supreme Lord. Also, revealing your mind to the Supreme Lord. Bhaktivinoda does it in Dhyana section of Sharanagati. He reveals his mind so expertly and very nice. Now, in Kalyan Kalpatara, there are many bhajans that are like that. Gopinath bhajan is like that. It's written very nice. It's almost like a crying mood of a man who is opening his mind up to the Supreme Lord. In 24 shlokas. Gopinath bhajan. Very static. Yes, opening the mind is very important. There are generally three levels of it. To your superiors, to your peers, and to your subordinates. But don't clam up. That's dangerous. As soon as you hold it within, and many times it happens after the fact, after XYZ leaves. Oh, hey, what happened to them? They disappeared, they left the devotees. What happened to them? Oh, well, maybe they were embarrassed. They were having difficulties and they were too embarrassed to tell anything about it. And by the time we found out about it, it's too late. It can't be like that. This is how Maya throttles us. She just puts her hand around your neck and just squeezes really hard. As soon as we think that we can. Well, I don't have enough guts to open my mind because I'm afraid I'll be criticized. I'm afraid I'll expose me, you know, I'll expose my inadequacies. Dangerous business. If you don't have a friend to open your mind up, we're really in quicksand. Maya is so powerful. We should never underestimate how powerful she is. We should never underestimate how merciful Gurang is. We should never, ever underestimate how merciful the spiritual master is. And the previous acharyas. If we take shelter of their instructions, then surely the Lord will help. And they will help like anything. We just have to take shelter. Now another thing is interesting in this connection, I want to mention, is that no matter how much difficulty a devotee has in his or her life throughout the gamut of their devotional life, as long as we understand that to make a mistake is not such a big thing, taking up the instructions of the previous acharyas again, from whatever position we are, if we just simply take up again the chanting, the following of the program, right? The enthusiastic association of devotees. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada said that is enough to reestablish them again. There's no prayaschitta, there's no reformatory practice that one has to do except again take up the process. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada says in Bhakti Rasamrita, that is sufficient. Now, in order to get the guts to do that, the conviction that I will again take shelter, this is why we need our friends. Our friends help us come to that rapid conclusion that I have no other alternative now but to take shelter of the process again in the company of devotees. The friendship that you get from a devotee helps to build that commitment. That I feel sheltered with the devotee. All right, I've made a mistake, or I've not done it properly, or I'm having difficulty. I will again redouble my efforts with redoubled strength to again try. You know? And devotees should do that. Don't. My sannyas guru always mentioned it to me that when a devotee is having difficulty, don't kick them while they're down. You must not judge them. Just love them. Show that affection. Then of their own intelligence that Krishna gives within the devotee's heart, they will themselves start to understand it. Now, and if they ask you, then you can speak from the platform of Shastra. Like I remember sometimes when I was associating intimately with my sannyasa guru, that sometimes I had to beg him, please tell me my faults. I had to beg him, because the devotee sometimes is just so forbearant and so loving and so tolerant that they will not say anything. You can have an ocean of faults. They just won't say anything. He's chanting Hare Krishna, he's preaching, everything will happen, huh? He'll understand. I should open my mouth. You have to ask them. Sometimes you have to beg them. You only do that when you have a deep friend. Say if you, otherwise you don't like to hear other people get on your case. Or say something about your bad qualities, right? You don't like it. But at least you should have the guts to be able to ask your dear friend, please help me. Please help me become a better devotee. So please tell me how I need to improve. How you think I could improve. You know? You ask for feedback. And only your friends that are your deep friends will give that feedback. They're the only ones that can fine-tune you. And then you have to give feedback on that feedback, which means you have to be able to reciprocate with that. You have to, unless you reveal, some of them are very sharp. Some of your friends can be very sharp. They can be very perceptive. But sometimes they're waiting for you to open your mind and tell them about it. Before they will go deeper. Before they will even help you understand. You have to first understand the fault. Then when they, after you probe them, they'll speak a few things, and then you have to again go inside and put and identify the fault. And the more you identify your own anartha through Guru Sadhana Shastra and the company of your friends, then they'll help you see it more. They'll help you go deeper and see it more. It's not mundane psychoanalysis. It's called Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Guyama Kyati Prichati. An ABC to GBC. You gotta have a friend. And if you don't, you're in big trouble. It doesn't matter whether they're householders or not. Like David Mukhamaraj was an example. That in his young brahmachari life, he was a brand new devotee. He took shelter of the devotee who made him a devotee. And he was, who was Daivi Shakti Mata. And he was ready to come to the temple. And if he had a problem, he would reveal his mind to her. And she would help him put it together. You know, she, in the initial stage of Krishna consciousness, she helped him put it together. Later on, as he made friends with other devotees, he branched out, of course. And he is as ecstatic as he is now. But it just goes to show you how powerful it is to have a friend. That you can always know that if I ever have a difficulty, I can always go to that friend, and that friend will be there. And that is not a short-term friendship. That friendship will be for the rest of your life. Until you leave this body, that friend will be there for you. That is a substantial friend. And the friendship is even stronger when you're having trouble. When you're having devotional difficulties, that's when that friend is even more needed and more crucial to help you make the right decisions for your spiritual life. That friend is that more crucial at that time. Did I answer the question a little bit more? There are three levels. You go to your superiors, you question them in one way, and you question your peers in another way, and you may package it in another way for your subordinates. But if you don't have your superiors and you don't have your peers, then you should have the guts to go to your subordinates. Yes, Prabhuji?
Sometimes your superiors being brought up in a different time, the time previously, don't go through the same experiences that you do. Like you degenerate and get.
All right, yeah, so? What's the problem?
So in that case, you go to a theater.
Yeah, but it could also be dangerous. The peers can help you fine-tune it, but ultimately you do have to go to your superiors. Because who are our superiors? Are we going to try to say that Vyasadeva is off the wall? You know what I mean? Do we have enough guts to say that? Yeah, today, you know, he's behind the times. You know? Mahabharata, Ramayana, they're behind the times. You know what I mean? When you look, if you go deep enough, like Vrindavan Mahimamrita or something, if you can identify your anartha, you can find some Sanskrit or Bengali that smacks it right on the nose. Right on the nail in the head. You can find it. Hey, if somebody's a pure devotee, they're directly in communication with the Paramatma. They cannot... Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj mentions that there are four defects of the living entity. To commit mistakes, to have imperfect senses, to have a cheating propensity, right? And one more. Falls into illusion, right? Now he said, but the acharyas, the sages, they don't fall into those four defects. Not Vyasadeva. You see? Neither Rupa Goswami, neither the perfect devotees that are in their Nitya Lila, right? That have their eternal spiritual bodies with Krishna and Gauranga. Especially them, the Lord's Parshada. They're not defective. Therefore, our line of defense is, Narasimha Das says, Guru Sadhu Shastra Bhakya Tine Te Kuriya Aikya Arana Kuriya Maniyaj. Now the thing about it is, look, it's a fact that sometimes you may, due to a lack of sambandha, you may think that, maybe my local authority, maybe he's not experiencing my problem. But did you actually sit down with him and ask him? That's the thing. And you can ask him, it's like second person, third person. It's actually your problem, okay? But you go to him and say, hey, I got a hypothetical question here. Suppose you get a devotee in this situation, blah, 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 and you just lay out the whole thing. What do you think about that? What should one do in that situation? You follow me? These are a way to test and see whether they actually know about that situation or not. What is frank about of a devotee is to always explain exactly what you could get. Like I mentioned about in terms of relationships, it's important for people to understand exactly what you can get out of the relationship with another devotee. These are my parameters. This is what I know and this is what I don't know. But the idea of love, like a superior, if they have a parental affection for you, like that, like a parent, even if they can't do it for you, their affection is so great that they will try to help you find it. That's a parent. That's what parental affection is all about. The thing is that can you have a parental relationship with your boss? You follow me? Like if somebody's your authority, temple authority, he's my boss, he's my manager. But it's more than that. It's not that the temple president or somebody's your boss, that he just puts you to work. You follow me? But it's not like that. A leader is not only their visionary, they try to organize the preaching so it gets some tangible results for the preaching. You follow me? And so that you feel good doing the preaching as well. But they're also a friend. Because Krishna is the friend of everybody. Surita Sarvabhutanam. And we're meant to do that. We're meant to be able to open up. So we should try to develop a relationship with our superiors that they are like parents. We should be able to have the same relationship, ultimately. That's the whole idea. Like even in school system, there was so much trust placed by the parents on the teacher because it was the same Baba. But the teachers had one up on the parents in one sense because the parents were so affectionate to the children that sometimes they had a difficulty to discipline the child because they had so much affection like that. But the aunties or the uncles or your teacher, they don't. If you need a good kick in the pants, they'll give it to you happily, Yeah, but at the same time, their affection is that if you need understanding, if you need understanding like that, they'll probe you, they'll discuss it. Don't be afraid of your superiors. Don't be afraid. We should never be afraid of a devotee. If they're chanting and following truthfully, we should never be afraid of a devotee. We should accept them like parents. You can't legislate that. I'm not legislating it. You can't legislate that. You've got to trust XYZ just because he happens to be in charge of the temple. You know what I mean? Or one of the senior guys around in the neighborhood. You can trust somebody else in Australia or somebody else. You follow me. You've got to have some friends. But the more you actually get on with your friends, deep, you have some superior friends that you can always reach to, even on email or something. You can always reveal your mind to somebody. Then the happiness you get in their company makes you feel good about opening up to anybody. That's the thing. The side benefit of having somebody who treated you like son, that you have a parent, a Krishna conscious parent in the sense. You follow me? That you have superiors that are your well-wishers. That gives you such strength and such energy that you can now open up to everybody else. And if you don't got that, then they start to clam up and they can't open up to anybody. And Maya puts a noose around your neck and just goes, and just swallows up all of your Krishna consciousness. Have I helped you with that? It's tough. Hey, I'm not legislating it, but ABC to GBC, we got to have a friend. And if you don't got a friend, we're in deep trouble. Really. We got to have a friend. We have to know that the biggest friend we've got is this process. But probably one of our biggest friends is this process. One of the biggest friends is our morning program. One of the biggest friends is our beads. These are friends. These are shelters. Prabhupada's giving, and but we just stick to that. Yeah. One says, yeah, we can't go back to Godhead by all these things. But we've got to do it deeply. We've got to do it with bhava. We've got to do it with love. And if we do it with love and always striving for perfection, then Krishna can help us. And then Krishna can help us get perfection. It's all important. We can't be cheapskate about it. If you can't open up with your friends, how are you going to open up with Krishna? If you can't open up with your friends, can you open up with the deities? Can you open up to Tulsi? Huh? If you can't open up to your friends, how are you going to open up with them? The people that are actually you're supposed to open up to. How are you supposed to open up to Tulsi if you can't open up to your friends? If you can't open up to the deities, right? And if you do open up, you'll find unlimited. Krishna's ready. Prabhupada said, you just take one step toward Krishna, he'll take 10 steps to you. Krishna's ready. Surita Sarvabhutanam, Gauranga's ready. You just simply have to follow the process. Their mercy is subordinate to getting the mercy of a devotee. We must have good devotional relationships. If we don't, then our relationships with Gauranga and Krishna and Tulsi is probably superficial. Probably superficial. Think about it. It's healthy to have strong devotional relationships. And you get strength. I mean it. You get strength like anything. If you have a good friend, then you get strength to do all your devotional service. It all starts from there. And you get conviction that I can open up to so many people. And if we don't, if we remain clammed up, then you can't even open up to Gauranga, Krishna, Tulsi, but you can't open up to them either. It's important to find it. And some, and every devotee that I talked to in this regard has told me that I was such a close person and I just felt so weird and I felt so awkward. But when I finally found my close friend, then finally I could open up. For some people it was marriage that opened them up. Some people it wasn't. Some people it was just another friend. But they never had it in their life. As soon as they get that, then they can open up. Then they brighten up. Then they can preach. Then they get strength. And then they start to see how much they need to get close to Gauranga, how much they need to get close to Tulsi. Right? They see that. The whole process becomes alive. Krishna consciousness becomes alive when you see it practiced in fact by a devotee. Vigyan into someone with them. Then you see the realization. See the realization. You gotta open up. It's good. Please. You know, if you don't like a particular leader or you don't like a particular and you don't want to open up to them, fine. Open up to somebody. And then by opening up to somebody, eventually you're going to be able to open up to some degree to even those that you feel that you previously felt hesitant to open up to. You follow me? By practicing opening up to somebody that you can open up to, then eventually you get the energy to open up where you couldn't before. It opens doors that you felt were slammed before. That's important. That's important. All right? Anything else? Anything else from anywhere? Well, yes, bro.
There's a telling story of Lord Vedra and Kulkira and others.
Yeah, there's a god sister. Yeah? So what about it?
You didn't complete the story.
I didn't complete the story. She was a cook in the temple, and she had nothing. She had to go across the street to the provision store and borrow a kilo of rice to cook for the devotees. And she promised them, "I'll pay it back tomorrow." She said, "I actually had to do it because otherwise the guy's not going to give you another one." But she told that story, and she said it was so poor in those days. Giriraj Swami was going making members barefoot, and she would sometimes sew his holes in his dhoti. Huh? No, there was nothing else. And then I told stories about the Bandicoot and about Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji. You know? How you can see Krishna even in the form of the scrubbiest rats, you know. I got a mouse in my room. I saw this mouse in this room yesterday. I don't know where in the heck he came. Yeah, there's a mouse in my room. How did he get in there? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. At least he's not a bandicoot. Bandicoots are this big, you know. I've seen them this big, and the tail is extra. At least this fellow's only this big, you know. But that's, I finished the story. I told you the whole story. Tell me about it. What else? What's up?
The fact that we are eternal. Is it possible that some of the bondages can be of the previous generals as well? Is it possible that some of the bondages are due to the previous births?
Of course! Prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. You're suffering from karma from that you did in your previous world. Right? And you're suffering from karma that you're doing now. That's called prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Namastakam that prarabdha prarabdha kichu nahi thaki virigai har har. Tomara udoy, jivira hrudoy, sampuna shodito hoy, karma jnana bandhu sabaduri jai anayase prema lai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur singing about the glories of the holy name, that yes, it is a fact. You can suffer from reactions of previous life, right? But, and also Rupa Goswami says the same thing. Durjatareva savana ayogyate nihitu durjatya rambakam papam yattat prarabdham eva tat. Yattat prarabdham eva tat. He's suffering now because of something he did in his previous life. What you're getting now is your suffering. Yeah. But the Nam, Krishna's name is so powerful that it can destroy both. So, whatever you got, this is where it comes from. Whatever you got, you can trace it to your rounds. Whatever problems you've got, ultimately you can trace it to your rounds. Because if you did have such strong non-shraddha, you would have no problems. That's the power of the holy name. It destroys it all. Krishna's Nam, Devaram his name, and he destroys it all. And it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing for Krishna to do. I saw it with my own eyes when Prabhupada said that. Krishna can make this itching sensation go away. He was like that. I saw him flip his hand like that. Like it was the easiest thing for Krishna to do, to take away your stupid lust, greed, anger, and problem. Nothing, you know. Krishna can just throw it. You preach and you pray to Krishna. Krishna! So our shraddha should be there. Everything comes from the name. If we just take shelter of the name, then everything will happen. It doesn't mean we're putting our head in the sand and we haven't got a problem. You follow me? That we haven't got. But we should understand the primary medicine for the problem is the name. Is the holy name of Krishna, the glories of Krishna, the glories of Gauranga, the primary medicine, and in the company of devotees, then no matter how weird we are, no matter how many loose screws we got, you know, whatever, it will become great. Anybody from any background can become great if they just get attached to the holy name, if they get attached to the company of devotees. Then everything else will become great. Nothing. There won't be any obstacle. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it in many bhajans. Bhagativinoda koi kori gola padasvaya chidananda rasamai ho Radha Krishna namagane. Radha Krishna namagane. By Radha Krishna namagane, everything else will be great. Hey, we gotta do it. If we do it, we'll be happy. Okay? Prabhupada is there. I'm not asking you to chant your rounds and put your head in the ground like an ostrich. There is no tiger. I haven't got a problem. You got a problem. But the first thing is facing the problem, and the holy name helps you face it. That's the point. By chanting your rounds good, and being with devotees good, it helps you to become a human being. Before we were an animal. By chanting Hare Krishna, we become to this level of a human being. Now, once we get to the level of a human being, we can relate to other human beings, we can reveal ourselves. And yeah, and if we're sincere about the process, then everybody will give us a break. Yeah, so what? You know, he and she got a few loose screws. Big deal. Everybody's got a few loose screws. Hey, we're not focusing on the loose screws. We're focusing on XYZ, whoever he or she is. They're doing good. They're chanting names. Like I said, I asked my sannyas guru, Maharaj, what's your criteria for basket cases? My criteria is that they're better now than I saw them last 6 months ago. When he said that to me, I busted up laughing. It was the perfect answer. Everybody has got a chance if they take up the process. And the more diligently they follow the process, the greater their chances are. Krishna's name is everything. Everything is Krishna's name. Harinam Eva Kevalam. Let's believe it. Let's try it. Then gradually as we taste it, then we'll believe it. Okay? And the name, and also don't think that the name is Krishna. He won't help you. He won't bless you. The name is so powerful that he can help you. He can help you find out other subordinate answers to your problem. You follow me? He'll give intelligence. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He'll give you intelligence. How to figure it out, right? For those that have strength and faith in his name. Okay? Is that alright? Yeah, don't worry. Krishna can help you other things. Don't worry about that. You just take shelter of the name. Then everything will come. Okay? Hare Krishna. Take prasad. Be happy. Yeah.